welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, first of all, congratulations on another district championship last week. I thought that was a really pretty good effort start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, we were pleased. I mean, Lebanon's a really good football team. And, you know, they came in here with an all-state running back and almost a 3,000-yard rusher, and we were able to hold him to 34 yards rushing. And I think that set the tone of what we were going to do. But you know, I thought offense performed well. Got up to a 17-point lead. Felt really good about where we were. It's this time of year, I think it's really important that we're playing complementary football, and I think we did that. We've done it throughout most of the season. Obviously, the games get bigger and they get more important, they get more physical. I was also proud of the way we kind of matched that physicality. That was one of the things we challenged them on this week, or last week, and then again this week too, same thing. We got physical football teams, and you know, we can play a physical brand of football.
This afternoon, you're going to Republic, second year in a row. Do you think that may be a little bit of an advantage? You know the trip, you know the facility, you know the atmosphere.
I think that'll be helpful for, you know, the guys who played in that game last year. Like you said, familiar territory. They have a great facility down there. It's a great setup, and they had a great fan base, and it was a great atmosphere for a state quarterfinal game last year. We just came up on the short end of it. We'd like to change the outcome of that. But I think that will be helpful. I think there'll be a little bit level, maybe more of a level of comfort, less jitters. They're still going to be there, but you know, we've been here before, and we were close last year, and we didn't play all that well last year in a lot of different phases, not just special teams. You know, we missed on some protection schemes, and you know, our linebackers, you know, were missing some reads. We can play better than what we played last year, and you know, we were really close with them last year. So we're confident in the week of practice we had, the game plans that we have, and just excited about the opportunity.
You know, it's a different year, probably a different team, but they kind of probably do a lot of the same things, don't they?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, we will be very similar, too, for them. We'll see what happens today. I think the team that makes the fewest mistakes, we can't lose possessions like we did last year. Those two onside kicks killed us. We've been working on that really hard. So hopefully we're ready for that today.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. Tom, I guess the biggest thing is you keep winning, you keep playing. Helias did just that last week, but I think it was also one of those where you go, very good win.
Something Chris and I talked about. I said it was a good win, played pretty well. Jumped out to a 16-0 lead, and then kind of the same thing that happened against Camdenton. You know, Lebanon got back in it by halftime, and it was down to 16-11. And so, you know, couldn't quite close out the half. And you just kind of wonder how long. You can't keep doing that, especially as your opponents get better.
Right.
So you're going to, you know, that's something that he talked about a little bit, you know, not only, you know, after the game, was that, you know, they've got to clean that up.
Right, right. I mean, the end result is you do what you're supposed to do in terms of, you know, you went into the game going, if we can keep Jax Glendening limited, we're going to win. I think I thought if they would have done, what, in terms of the overall numbers, I would have thought it would have been a little bit bigger a victory than 38-18. But you do what you're supposed to do, and it leads to a victory. So at the end of the day, you got to go, well, we got to be pleased with that because we did what we wanted to do, and it translated to a W.
Yeah. They held him to 34 yards, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
But again, they also threw the ball 16 times after not only throwing it 63 times all year coming
right
into the game. So part of it was the fact that they kind of changed their offensive philosophy because maybe they knew that that might not be the best way to try to get a win.
Right.
And you know, you go, you know, it looks comfortable at 30-18, but again, early in the fourth quarter, Elias is facing a 3rd and 16 with a chance, you know, they're only up 23-18. It's like, oh my goodness, if they get the ball back and put together one of their drives, you know, this could be a, this could be the end, because
sure,
they could run almost all the clock off. But
right,
it was a, you know, Elias's athletes made plays. You know, Austin Weaver threw a great ball down the sideline, and Logan Hillman went up and got him a first down, got him near midfield, and then they drove, and then Weaver connected with Sam Lopez on a little bit of a crossing route, or cowboy as they called it, and Sam found his way to the front corner of the end zone. It was 30-18. You could kind of exhale at that point, going,
right,
all right, we're going to get this win.
Yeah, and we've talked before about the Elias defense, and I think it's worth noting that, you know, 18, holding them to 18, that's on a team that in the last couple weeks has gone 44-49, 64-49, 48-42. So, you know, you did exactly what you needed to do defensively. You shut down an offense that was rolling pretty good.
Yeah, I think going into the game, Elias would have taken holding them to 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and they did that, obviously, held them to 2 plus a field goal. And so, you know, I think that's going to be kind of a similar thing this week, which we'll get to, I'm sure. But, you know, the defense has just been so good all year, and they made plays, and just big play after big play. And it was another strong performance and a series of strong performances for the defense.
So let's turn our attention to the four to this week. So we got a 1 o'clock game today at Republic. This feels familiar for some reason, Tom. Why is that?
Yes, because it was the same trip we made last year, Tony, at the same time. Yeah, you know, last year. And people are kind of wondering, well, how can you go down there 2 years in a row? Well, the district numbers that they were assigned to got flipped to begin with. And then, because Elias was the number 1 seed, has played at home twice. Republic was the number 2 seed in District 6. They had to go on the road to beat Branson to win the district title. Since they've been on the road, they get to host this round.
Yeah.
Which explains that.
Sure.
Doesn't make any of us happier.
Right.
But, you know, it.
But the good thing is about, with it being a very familiar scenario, you did this just last year. So you kind of know all that entails, and it's not like you're doing it with a whole crop of new players. It's a lot of people who made the same trip last year and know what this scenario exactly means.
I was talking, you know, at the Lebanon game with a couple of people, not on the staff or anything, but just associated with the program, that said, you know, going down there was strange because it's just different, and it was, you know, the atmosphere was different. The crowd noise was different. The, you know, playing stuff over the loudspeakers was kind of different. And you're playing in a quarterfinal, you know, for the first time since 2020. Well, none of those guys played on that team. So it was, you know, it was a lot different for them. And I think the familiarity this time, they've been through it. You know, they've made the drive. They know what they're going to get from the fans, who are really great down there. The facility, they know their locker room. I think everything, the nerves, and a lot of these guys not only played in that game, they started in that game.
Right.
So they've kind of been through it all before, and I think that this is going to be much more familiar, and I don't think we'll see the nerves, I think, that maybe we saw about last year, because
okay,
there were some definite nerves early, and we'll get into that.
Yeah. So if a lot of these things are the same, how much of this Republic personnel is the same? I mean, how much of the is there going to be a whole lot of carryover in terms of what the Crusaders will see today from the Tigers?
There's carryover in style, but not a whole lot in players returning.
Okay.
So, you know, on offense, they're going to run the double wing, and they're going to run it and just try to grind you.
Okay.
But you know, like last year, the quarterback, he's gone. Who ran him last year. Now they have a great one again back, but we get to that. You know, defensively, they've only got a handful of starters back on that side too, but it's similar that they run the same stuff, and, you know, it's just kind of like the program. They're building it and building it and building it, and they're just going to keep doing the same thing and just plugging it.
Yeah. So let's start with the Republic offense. Who is it that we have to be concerned about today from a Elias standpoint?
Well, it's quarterback Preston McCracken.
Okay.
He's battled a little bit of an MCL injury this year, but he's back in the lineup. You know, he ran for, I think, more than 250 yards in the district title win against Branson, and 4 touchdowns.
Okay.
He makes them go. You know, he's run for more than 1,000 yards this year. He's got 19 rushing touchdowns. And the thing that is kind of scary, it's different than Lebanon in the fact that, you know, Glendening was a running back. You know, you had to get him the ball. Well, McCracken can get the ball every play.
Right, right.
He's so then what, you know, now you know where the ball is going to be.
Yeah.
Now you just got to figure out a way to stop it.
Yeah.
Or slow him, not stop him, slow him down.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a handful because, you know, they don't, Elias, you know, we talked about the triple option last week. They don't see it very often. Well, they don't see the double wing you know, wing T offense very much either. And right. So it's been a week of trying to prepare for that.
So in addition to preparing for that, I think, again, we have to ask the question, because much like how Lebanon went away from what it likes to do, it seems like a lot of teams do this with Elias. So if Republic kind of throws the ball today a little bit more than they might necessarily normally do, who might be a person that they have to be aware of?
The thing is that the most catches has six.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, McCracken.
Dude, so your guess is as good as mine.
He's completed 15 passes for 34 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, for 34 attempts, sorry, for 430 yards.
Okay.
They do not, or they haven't been made to throw the football.
Right.
I don't think they want to throw the football.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's, you know, but let's just say Elias gets a couple of, I don't know, three and out, or, you know, holds them to, you know, 15 yards in a couple series, then, you know, they might have to start throwing it.
Right.
Which I think would then play into Elias's hands.
Sure.
You know, Lebanon did throw for a 47-yard touchdown last week, but it's, you know, it's up to that secondary to make sure that they're still doing what they need to do to cover. Just don't worry about what's going on at the line of scrimmage. You do your job and let those guys, you know, the seven or eight guys that are going to be up there, do their job.
So I think I'm probably comfortable with the Elias defense being able to maybe do what it wants to do today. So I think then my first inclination is to ask, okay, what can the Elias offense do against this defense? Because if you look at some of these numbers, at least the last, you know, 6-7 weeks as teams start to ramp up for the playoffs, they've given up some pretty small numbers. I mean, it's 10. They did give up 27 to Hillcrest, but they won that one 54-27. Then, you know, 7 before that, 7 before that, and 0 before that. So you go, okay, this defense looks like it's playing pretty well at this point. So, you know, how well is the Elias offense going to be able to perform against that defense?
Yeah, you look back, Camerton ran for 300 yards, first time all year did that. And part of it was, you know, the way the game turned out, but, you know, it's still good to run for 300 yards. Last week against Lebanon, came up just short of throwing for 300 yards.
Okay.
So, you know, you're still looking, you know, and Chris, you know, Chris and I actually talked about this a little bit, you know, in our interviews. Like I said, you, do you think the offense is getting there, you know, getting to be, and he said, you always want balance, but you also have to take what your opponent's giving you.
Sure.
You know, I said, because I said, you know, 200, I said 200 and 200 would be great, wouldn't it? He goes, well, yeah, but you can't always count on that.
Right, right.
Because if they're giving you stuff, you have to take it.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of what happened a little bit last week. They thought that they saw some things in the Lebanon secondary that they could take advantage of, and they did. You know, the question is, what's going to be available this, you know, today?
Yeah.
And that's a question mark. Last year, playing down there, they scored 21 points. Which, and really, we'll talk about it. I'll stop there because we'll get to what happened down there last year here in a little bit.
So, I guess, you know, you look at it and go, okay, Elias 10-1, Republic 10-2. The first thing that people are going to ask me is, who are the losses to? So, it's worth noting that, you know, their losses came to Nixa in week one and Carthage in week seven. I think both of those, what you would consider, quote-unquote, good losses.
Yeah.
So I think it's a team that's pretty well tested. They've got some teams that, you know, they've beaten on that schedule that look pretty good. What do you think about just the overall kind of quality of them, looking at kind of their results that they've posted?
Oh, that new conference that they're in, the COC, is really, really good. You know, Nixa, arguably one of the two or three, I think, maybe best teams in the state. You know, they're tied for second in the Class 6 rankings. I'd been voting them number one the last half of the regular season. And then Carthage was a top five team in Class 5. So, you know, you look at that schedule, they played a quality group, and they got tested. You know, those are strong physical teams. Elias is going to have to play strong and play physical this afternoon to try to go out and get a win.
Yeah. So you've alluded to it a couple of times, but let's just talk a little bit. I mean, I don't think, you know, you can kind of say how last year went determines this, but I think there are some things that, you know, you kind of take from last year. So what are maybe kind of the overall lessons or overall talking points maybe the coaching staff has had for the players about last year's game?
Well, let's just start, you know, Elias got the ball first, drove the field, scored, up 7-0. Kickoff, ensuing kickoff, Republic returns it for a touchdown. Next kickoff, Republic kicks it, onside kick, recovers, goes and scores a touchdown. Next kickoff, Republic does an onside kick, recovers it, scores a touchdown. Elias does not get beat in special teams.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
And yet it happened that day, and it happened on three plays that resulted in three touchdowns.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's almost, you could have, I could have thought that that, you know, I could see them losing that game last year. I didn't think it would be because of what happened in the kicking game.
Right.
But it happened, and Chris Ware, you know, says, now, there's a different kicker this year. I'm going to say this, because that kid last year was really good at it.
Yeah.
But he said, we've been working on it. We're ready. They still liked onside kick. You know, so we're going to be ready. We've got, you know, we've got stuff that we think that, you know, we're going to be able to, you know, fall on the football. At least they just keep the ball. You know, they can't give the ball away like they did and fall behind, because trying to catch up against a team of the quality of Republic was really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And anybody's listening to Republic, all the credit in the world. You know, y'all won the game and congrats and moved on and finished second in the state. And that was, and congrats again. You know, but I think sometimes Helias felt that they let that one get away from them.
Right. And it's not only just the fact that, you know, you don't recover those, but you almost feel like when a team does that and a team gambles like that, you want to be able to penalize them at some point for it. So it's almost like a double whammy when not only do you not get it and then go the short field and score, but you let them go the short field and score. It almost hurts twice as much.
Yeah, you know, you fall on it on say, roughly your own 45, well, then you've only got 55 yards for a score, or we could honestly say 35 to 40 yards for a reasonable field goal attempt for them, and to lose possessions like they did.
Yeah.
It was, okay, sorry, I normally don't do this, but I'm looking, remind myself of the numbers here. Let's see, you know, they ran 60 plays last year, Republic did. Helias ran in the 30s.
Okay.
You know, it was just, you know, they always had the ball, and that's what they're going to try to do, I think, this afternoon, too. You keep the ball away from Helias by just grinding out 3, 4, 5 yards of play, and if they can do that, then it could be, you know, a short day for the game, but a long day for Helias.
Right. Well, and that ended up being, what, a 28-21?
28-21.
So those were huge possessions in a game.
And in the final minute, Helias threw a touchdown pass that was called back by a penalty, which I was sitting up in the booth, and it truly was a penalty. The young man jumped offside just by a half a step.
Right.
But he did. Or, you know, it could have been a tie game, and then who knows?
Right, exactly.
And so I think it was last year's game was two really quality teams. I think you could argue two of the three best teams in Class 5 were playing in the quarterfinals.
Right.
You know, because Helias went to Cardinal Ritter and lost to him by a point in the regular season.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, today it's going to be who can control the ball.
I think. Maximizing possessions.
Yeah.
You know. So I guess the other thing that you look at this point in the season is you should always go, okay, are we going to have our full complement of guys? So how's the overall health of the Crusaders heading into this one?
Other than the normal banged up and bruises stuff, you know, they're going to be ready to go. Will Kemna got through last week's game fine at tackle. He'll be back out there today. It's, you know, and that's big because he, you know, obviously, you know, a Kansas State commit, quality lineman. You know, gonna need him today for blocking. And, you know, I think everybody else is gonna be ready to go.
All right. I guess that gets us to the point. Well, I'll just ask you, who wins this one today?
I think it has the potential to be a very close game again. And, you know, it could come down to one or two possessions in that fourth quarter. Who can get that touchdown when they need it or get that score when they need it?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Helias 24-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.